Father, we do thank you for this beautiful Mother's Day that you've given to us. We do take time out today to think about those who brought us into the world. Some of us have mothers who have gone on, and some are here present today. We thank you, Father, for them, each and every one. And we pray, Lord, they be blessed by the message. And Father, all that hear will be blessed by the message today. As we look at Hannah's life, may the Word of God come alive. May we be touched in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting our Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. The mother we're going to be looking at today is Hannah. While you're finding 1 Samuel, I'll share a story about a mother. She was born on She was born on a Saturday morning. The sun was just coming up. It was a beautiful day. Her grandparents were there. They knew she was a special child. They brought her home. The mom and dad, they loved her. She was the most beautiful little girl you ever saw in your life. She was housebroken at 3 months. She was walking at 10 months. She was talking at 16 months. She never gave them any trouble at all. She started school. Everybody was her friend. She never missed a day of school. She was a straight-A student. Her teeth were straight. She never needed braces. She went through those school years, graduated, went to college. Again, Dean's List. She had many friends and was involved in all the different sports, excelled. Her name was always in the paper. Became a professional, met a man, wonderful man. They got married, never had an argument. He would bring her breakfast in bed on Saturday mornings. Had children. They grew up just like her. Lived to be 95. Never sick a day in her life. There's nothing true about this story. That's the way we would like it to be. The way it is a little different. We're looking at Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerem, the son of Eliu, the son of Tol, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Don't tell that to your wife. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the story, but she did have a child, and she named that child Samuel. And she offered him to God, to serve God throughout his life. And if you look at the heading of this book, it's called 1 Samuel. And then we have 2 Samuel. Some people think Samuel probably wrote the book, although it doesn't state that. But in any case, he's the major character in this book. And he was really quite a man of God. And he had quite a life because of his mother. Because he had quite a mother, Hannah. I want to make five statements. Number one, the period of time in which she lived. She lived in a period of time called the Judges. It was a period of time when it's repeated over and over again. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. She was born into that period of time. Number two, we're going to look at the problems that she faced. And she faced a lot of problems. She was married to a man that thought he was better than 10 sons. She was married to a man that had two wives. Well, we'll pick that up later on. Third thing, we're going to look at the prayer that she offered. Because, boy, I'll tell you, she had one thing going for her. She knew how to communicate with God. Even the high priest didn't understand what she was doing. But God did. God heard her prayer. And God answered her prayer. Fourthly, the package that she received. UPS, Samuel. She named him Samuel because Samuel means heard of God. God heard. So she named him that. Samuel. God hears. God's not deaf. He hears. And then lastly, the praise that she gave because she praised God. But first of all, the period in which she lived. I told you it was Judges. That's quite a book, Judges. You talk about a wacky time period. I mean, if you live back there in the book of Judges, they had things like Fox News, CNN, CBS. They used to have a guy named Jeff Glore, but something happened to him. And the country was in absolute chaos. And the religion was in absolute chaos. And that's the time in which she lived. She reminds me of, follow me through with this. You have a pile of manure, and out of that pile of manure comes a flower. And it's a beautiful flower, but it comes out from a pile of manure. It's amazing in the scriptures, in the worst of scenarios, the most terrible of situations, God can produce something that's beautiful. That was Hannah. And here she is in this, but she's really something. Hannah. Disobedience and defeat. That's all they experienced. The nation of Israel. They disobeyed God constantly, and they were constantly being defeated by the enemy. Moral decay. Political chaos. Spiritual apostasy. And this is repeated over and over again. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This was the nation of Israel. And in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Out of this came Hannah. And Hannah was going to have Samuel. And Samuel was going to be a prophet of Israel. One of the great prophets in the Old Testament. It's amazing how God works. That which is right in his own eyes. 8 times people say things like, I don't need the church. I've heard that said so many times. I don't need the church. I can worship out in the lake or this or that. You know why they say that? Because they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. They're not basing that statement on biblical principle. They're not showing you a verse in the New Testament that says that, but they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. Think of that. We live in a world like that. Parents having a hard time to bring up their children. Because you know what children do, little stinkers? They do that which is right in their own eyes. Their first word is not yes. First word is no. Because they do that which is right in their own eyes. Do you know why in the workplace it's so hard to get work done? Because employees have a natural tendency to do that which is right in their own eyes. Whatever you think is right. I might not think it's right, but you think it's right. It's okay for you. It's not okay for me. Because we live in a culture, we live in a society where everybody does that which is right in his or her own eyes. That's the environment in which Hannah found herself. And that was quite an environment. Israel wanted a king. They didn't want God telling them what to do. They wanted a king. And you know what? God said to them, I'll give you a king. I'll give you a king you like. And he's going to tax you to death. and he's going to take your sons off to war. But you want a king? I'll give you a king. Listen, if you don't want God, what do you think you're going to get? You've got to be careful. But here's Anna, and she just sticks out because she believes in God, and she prays. And those 3 times a year that you're supposed to present yourself at the temple, she was there. Anna's different. That's the time period. Most of us here, you old gray-haired critters, we came out of the 60s, 70s. The politics, the music, the philosophy of that time period, it helped to shape what we are, whether it's good or bad. Think of this. She came into that time period like the worst of times, but yet she sticks out because she was a woman of prayer. And she was a woman who kept her promises. And she was a woman who took care of the things of God. Hannah's really something. Number 2, the problems that she faced. Verse 1 tells us her first problem. Now there was a certain man. Now there's a problem. Anytime there's a man, there's a problem. It's true. I mean, you know that. I can see it. You've had enough experience with that, you know. If you're a woman married to a man, you've got a problem. Now, you probably didn't realize that until 2 or 3 days after you were married, but it finally came. I've got a problem. That's a problem. She had a man. Verse 2, here's the other problem. The man had 2 wives. Now, that's a problem. Bad enough you got a man, but that man has another wife. So now you got a man, and you've got a man who has another wife living there in that environment. Can you imagine what that was like in the kitchen? Can you imagine what that was like when you were trying to decide what kind of flowers you're going to put by the door? Can you imagine what that was like when you're trying to pick a color for your new Toyota RAV4? I mean, you can see it right here in the passage. 2 wives. That's a problem. Evil priests, Hophni and Phinehas, they're mentioned there. Now I'll tell you, these are 2 characters. They steal from the people. They steal from God. They are sexual perverts. And they're priests. And their father, Eli, he just lets them go. He doesn't try to contain them or control them. I mean, that's her home life, and then she goes to the temple, and that's the temple life. That's where she's trying to worship God, because that's where God called them to worship, but these characters are in charge of it. You think that's a problem? This girl's got problems. Eli, big, fat guy, because he ate too much. You see, Eli couldn't control his appetite. Eli couldn't control his sons. And we just read that. He couldn't control his tongue. He was wrong about her. He said, "You're drunk." She's not drunk. He couldn't control his appetite, couldn't control his sons, and he couldn't control his tongue, and he's the high priest in Israel. Religion today has fallen on hard times. But you know, it's always been like that. There's always been corruption. There's always been difficulty in religion. No different. Was back then, is today. But out of that, in spite of that, Hannah, and she's going to have a son, Samuel. And Samuel's going to be a prophet in Israel. Whew, happy Mother's Day. Favoritism. Verse 5. Elkanah's favorite wife was Hannah. Well, you know what happens when one's the favorite? You know what happens to the teacher's pet? Everybody loves the teacher's pet, right? Everybody else in the class loves the teacher's pet. No, that's not the way it goes. You know what happens when you're the favorite? You know what happens when you're the favorite in the family. You know what happens when you're the favorite in the workplace? Problems. You see, Hannah had a lot of problems. I could say Hannah had more problems than Carter had little liver pills, but half of you wouldn't understand what little liver pills are. And I think that even goes back a generation before us when people actually took little liver pills. And I don't even know if they worked. I'm going to ask Harry afterwards. He probably is old enough to take in some of those. Penina means ruby. And I don't know if it was Ruby who took her love to town or not, but that was Penina means ruby. So ruby is provoking Hannah every day. Provoke means to stimulate or give rise to a reaction or emotion, typically a strong or unwelcome one. That's what provoke means. It's like, you provoke me, you bring something out of me that I would rather not have brought out of me. And she provoked her every day. How would you like to get up in the morning knowing that you have to live in that environment where somebody is going to provoke you? day after day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. That was Hannah's environment. But she's the mother I've chosen for today because she's quite an example of honoring God in that kind of environment. You think you have it hard. That word was used many times about the nation of Israel provoking God. You know what? The nation of Israel made God angry. I want to just give you a few verses. I just want to give you what makes God angry. Psalm 78, verse 40 goes like this. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. How often? I say, well, how often? Read it. Often. They thought about Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They thought about the food in Egypt. They didn't want the food that God gave them. They didn't like the water supply. Constant complaining. And God was provoked. Because God was taking them from Egypt to the land of promise. Psalm 78, verse 56. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies. Didn't keep it. Moses coming down off the mountain, he has the commandments. They're down there breaking the commandments. In Exodus 32, 19, we get Moses' reaction to that. So it was, as soon as he, that is Moses, came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Moses broke the tablets of the commandments. He said, we haven't even started. Look at you people. Look at what you're doing. You're making God angry. What's wrong with you people? It says in Psalm 78, verse 58, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. Listen, there was only one God. And he was the creator of all things. And here are the people that he redeemed and he brought out there, and they're up there in the mountains worshiping some false god, and they're carving little images of their god. And he's the only God. It's like, what's wrong with you people? Wouldn't you get angry? God got angry. Should read that sometime. But anyway, she was provoked. Bet she was angry. Bet she was frustrated. Bet she's having a hard time with that. We all do when we're provoked like that. Thirdly, the prayer. It says in verse 10, with bitterness of soul, weeping and anguish, but she was persistent. She prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, because she really believed that God answered prayer. Most of the time it's like this, Father, take care of this situation. It's not taken care of. Forget that, he can't hear. I got to do it on my own. She wasn't like that. She prayed about this, and she prayed about this, and she prayed about this, and then one day, I think I'm pregnant. Not me. Hannah. She was pregnant. God heard her prayer. If you go back there and read that, it says God had closed her womb. You know why she didn't get pregnant? Because of God. You know why she got pregnant? Because of God. Wow. Does that tell you something? You think you're in control of things? Huh. You're not in control of much. God's in control of everything. We read this morning, God knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the exact amount of hairs on everybody's head. Everybody in the whole world since Adam and Eve. God knows. God's smarter than we are. Shouldn't we pray? Shouldn't we trust him? Shouldn't we be persistent in bringing these things before him? With all her soul, it says, from the heart, and it was answered. Number four, the package. I like UPS. You can order 12 rolls of paper towels from Sam's.
The paper towels will come boxed and delivered to your door by UPS
for the same price
that you would pick it up for at Sam's.
Same price. And then you can order toilet paper. You can order bleach. And instead of hauling that all the way from Bangor, they'll put that right inside your garage. They'll put that right next to your dog. Oh, yeah, he'll come in with a dog biscuit. Dog wants to bite him. No, biscuit, box, good, he's gone. And you know what I like about that? They're in packages. And it's like, I wonder what it is. Christmas, all the time. No, she got a package. But it was just a small package. It was a boy package. And she called that boy package Samuel. And she took that package, and she nurtured that package, and she prayed over that package. And the time came when that package had to be offered up to God, and she went to the temple, and she said, "My son, Samuel, he will serve in the temple all his life." And Samuel, as a child, was serving God in the temple. And Samuel grew up to be a major player in the nation of Israel because he had a mother by the name of Hannah who prayed. Isn't that something? Could that work today? Could that work today in crazy when things are falling apart spiritually and things are falling apart politically and
everybody does what is right in his own eyes?
All we have is chaos all around us. Could it be possible that somebody would seriously pray and make all the difference in the world? Somebody would trust God. In all of this, somebody just trusts God. Wouldn't that be something? What if it were you? Instead of you being part of the problem, you made a decision to be part of the solution. Wouldn't that be something? It'd be quite a thing.
Offered up to God's service. What a package. She got a package that day, I'll tell you. And then lastly, the praise. We're not going to take time to read that, but she went back to the temple and she just praised God because she knew that God did it. She didn't do it. There's a word we call providence. Providence is that God makes everything work together for his purpose. God's providence. You would never think it would work like that, but here in this home environment, there are two women, and there's tremendous contention between the two women. But God uses that contention between the two women for one of them, who's childless, to pray for a child. Had there not been any contention, would she have prayed like that? You know what I'm saying? His ways are not our ways. Sometimes we think, well, that's a bad thing, but it might not be a bad thing. It might be a good thing. Because if that thing never happened, it wouldn't bring us to him. That's an amazing thing. Providence. Some people get carried away with that. Saul's out looking for donkeys, and he thinks, got to find those donkeys. Dad's going to kill me if I don't find the donkeys. I don't know if he didn't tie the donkeys or what, but he's out there looking for donkeys. Samuel comes along. Saul, you're going to be the king of Israel. How did Samuel find Saul out there looking for donkeys? Saul didn't want to be the king of Israel. Saul could have cared less for that position. Saul was not a great man. But anyway, two lives came together. Samuel, Saul. So how does that happen? Just a coincidence. Really. So David's taking food to his brothers. That's the way it worked in those days. Your brothers are out there fighting the Philistines. Lunch is ready. You take it out to them. Okay, Mom. So David comes out there and he hears a noise and there's Goliath, big mouth. The whole army of Israel's at a standstill. And David's listening to that big mouth. And it goes like this. I'll take him on. How's that happen? How did it happen that David took lunch out to his brothers and found himself against Goliath and then becoming the king of Israel? How's that happen? Providence. It's a good word. Reversal of human fortune. Hannah's bitterness, and she's bitter about this, but it gives way to a son. Samuel becomes a prophet instead of Eli. David's anointed king, though he was the youngest son of his family. He was the runt of the litter. How's that happen? How can you fathom that kind of stuff? How do I apply this to my life? I like that hymn that goes like this. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only go this far? Who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? The old hymn writer said, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Do we cash in on that? Hannah did. Whew, she's right there in the Bible. Quite a thing. It is quite a thing, really, when you think of it. She had an adversary. She couldn't solve her own problems, but she was persistent. She had a genuine need. She had to have a child. And then she got what she wanted because she prayed fervently. Right now, what are you praying for? Having trouble with some of the kids? Friends that are lost? You'd like to see them bow their knee? Take Christ as their Savior? Somebody with a terminal illness? Some guidance for the future? What do I do with my future? Marriage on the rocks? The stuff of life, you know? Like this situation that Hannah came into? Life's not easy. Life throws stuff at you. Being discouraged. A lot of people discouraged today. Have every reason to be discouraged. They got a pill for that. I know. Every time I have an appointment, they offer me that pill. Or you can pray. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I'm confounded, confused, I'm concerned. Lord, please, pray. Really pray. Not a superficial kind of thing. Some religions, they take their prayer and they put on this thing and they twirl it around and around. Every time it goes around once, it's one prayer. It doesn't work. Something. Some people say the same prayer over and over again. Some guy wrote a book on the prayer of Jabez. They said, you got to say this prayer. The guy made a lot of money on that book, but he was dead wrong about the prayer. You don't make a go of it by saying that prayer over and over again. You say your own prayer from your own heart in relation to your own situation. The real prayer. Cheap rate for all those things. Oh, we're going to change things by voting for the right person. No, we're not. No. Maybe we're not supposed to have the right person. Maybe we're supposed to have the wrong person. Maybe we're supposed to have somebody that makes Christianity illegal. And then guess what will happen? Christians will start praying. Wow. Make it illegal to attend church. Then people realize how important it is to attend church. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Make it illegal for people to pray. And then maybe people would start praying. I get a kick out of this. You know, I say, kids can't pray at school. If we could just put prayer back in the school. That's the problem. Schools are like that day, shootings going on because there's no prayer in the school. Baloney. You know why there are school shootings? Because there's no prayer in churches. We need to put prayer back in churches. Not the school's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. It's not the principal's fault. It's not the governor's fault. We've taken prayer out of the churches. She was persistent in praying. God is glorified when we don't give up on prayer. God is glorified when we pray. But God knows whether or not we mean business. God knows whether or not we're serious about our prayers. Somebody said there are three kinds of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. She made things happen. Because in spite of her circumstances, she prayed. God answered that, gave her a son. That's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. She's a wonderful mother. The psalmist said this in Psalm 142, verses 1 to 3. I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I made my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Psalmist was in trouble. Cried out to God. God delivered him. People enjoy the Psalms. There are 150 of them. People enjoy the Psalms because it's where we live. The Psalms depict the kinds of things we face. They portray the circumstances that define our lives. People are comforted from the study of the Psalms, and they read those Psalms. They were given to us for that purpose. Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14 goes like this. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? That's a question. That's a good question. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Like, what do I owe God? See, most folks think they don't owe God anything. God owes them. No, we owe God. When we realized that we were a sinner and we were on our way to hell and there was no hope, and we realized that there was a Savior that could save us from our sin and give us the hope of eternal life, we owe him. He did all the work. We did nothing. He accomplished it all. He said, it's finished. The work is done. We enter into that freely. We owe God. So he said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He said, I'm just going to step out here and I'm going to identify myself with him and with his people. That's what I'm going to do. Good move. That's the greatest move you ever make. Say, the big decisions in life. Where do I go to college? Big decision. Whom do I marry? Big decision. What political party am I going to join? Big decision. No. No, no, no. Small decisions. The big decision, what am I going to do with God? What am I going to do with the one who created me and put me here? What am I going to do with him? Nothing. Maybe. Life's about investments. She invested in her family. You know what? I mean, it wasn't like our culture, but she stayed with that man.
She stayed in that family. She kept on going to the temple. She kept on praying. You talk about investing. She invested her life in that. We are the recipients of that. Israel became the recipients of that in the person of Samuel. Samuel was a special person. Samuel spoke for God. He was a spokesman for God. Invest. What does God want us to invest in? God wants us to invest in Him. The investments in Him are investments that we'll have for eternity. The things we invest in the earth, we could lose it. Back in the stock market crash, people were jumping out the windows in New York City because they lost their investment. They thought life was over because they invested everything in the stock market. Went belly up. Sometimes people invest in their body, you know what I mean? They eat the right vegetables and they exercise and they do all this stuff for their body. They study all the nutritional things and investing in their body, and they die just like the rest of us who eat potato chips and drink milk. When it's over, I'm going to say, I'm glad I didn't invest in broccoli and stuff. What do you invest in? Invest in God. Best investment you'll ever make. Always get a return when you invest in God. Might not get a return here. Might, though. Might be tremendous return here. But you always get a return. Even if it's not here, it's going to be after this. Always get a return when you invest in God. Invest in your home. There are individuals that are bringing children into this world and they're not bringing them up. Tragic. You poor school teachers. They don't want to bring up their kids. They want you to bring up their kids. You're not designed to bring up their kids. The kids are designed to be brought up in their home. Parents don't want to invest in their kids. Invest in your kids. Invest in your church. Invest in the church. The church is the body that was ordained by God. Now, the only problem with the church is the fact that there are people in it. And that can be very annoying. But the church is ordained by God. We are to be together for the sake of the gospel. And we are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It doesn't just happen. It takes investment. The writer says, love one another fervently. We're not that lovable. But that's what it says. So if it says that, it's possible. It's possible that we can actually love one another. We might not like one another, but we can love one another because we're in this thing together. And the church can have real victory when believers are on the same page. It's called the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a great thing. Invest in your work. I really believe there's no better testimony than for an individual, man or woman, to put in an honest day's work. Honest day's work. Show up on time. Do your job. Shut your mouth. Come home. It takes investment. Invest. Invest in God. Invest in your church. Invest in your work. Invest in your profession. Invest in the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Have an investment in that. How can I be a part of that? How can I be supportive of that? Got a box back there with a hole in it. You want to invest? Last one out, fill it up. You don't like what I said? Take some out. Doesn't make any difference. Samuel. I like this verse. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God speaking. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hannah. This verse was for Hannah. Listen, what she was going through, what she was facing. God speaking to Hannah. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Hannah, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you, Hannah, a future and a hope. In spite of the situation, you have it. Isn't that a great thing? Mother's Day, Hannah. Wonderful mother. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together here. Oh, Father, may we live up to these principles that you've set forth. Not for our sake, but for Jesus' sake. We pray it in His name. Amen.